Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central. We have a very special guest coming up next, all the way from Seattle in the US. Panos Panay is Chief Product Officer at Microsoft and the man leading the software giant's charge into hardware. Panos, it's really good to see you. I know it's quite early in the morning there on the US West Coast, so thanks for getting up a bit early to talk to us here in South Africa, pretty much on the opposite side of the planet from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You're going to notice the sun's coming up right now, so the light will it'll refract differently. We'll see some adjustments as we guessing as we talk through this recording. I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on. I couldn't be more excited.
Thank you so much. Well, that's a bit weird because the sun is about to set here in Johannesburg. So we really
it's amazing, right? But this is it. We're living in this time. It's pretty interesting. You know, this is relative to the way our products are working today, being able to connect globally at any given time is critical more now than ever as we live through the pandemic, of course. But it's an incredible time. I'm glad we're connecting.
Now, Tech Central readers will know well that Microsoft recently launched some of its Surface range of devices here in South Africa, with more to follow soon, I believe. There's been quite a bit of excitement about that. But Panos, before we talk all things Microsoft Surface, I've discovered there is remarkably little about your career history on the internet that I could find anyway through my Google searching and Bing searching, I should say. You joined Microsoft back in 2004. How did you originally cross paths with Microsoft, and what was your first role in the company?
You know, when I joined Microsoft, it was a fun time. And as a matter of fact, I was living in Los Angeles. I don't, share too many of these details, but I was, to your point, I was working for a Japanese company called Minebea.
Okay.
And it was a fantastic time. It was a time I learned so much, the combination of the Japanese culture in product making, alongside the need to serve great customers. Kind of where my chops kind of were formed, if you will, Duncan. I was doing electromechanical devices at the time, and Microsoft had reached out and connected. They were doing, they had a pretty sizable business with mice and keyboards. I think people kind of missed that point, and then an Xbox. So there was a lot of hardware going on at Microsoft. It was just subtle relative to the size and breadth of all the other things, especially Windows at the time.
Sure.
And Office. And so when I got the call, I remember talking to my dad, Duncan, and, I was born and raised, very tight knit kind of Greek family, if you will. And the idea that I was going to leave, that was a thing. But I got to tell you, the opportunity at Microsoft, and I had this kind of vision and dream and I remember talking to the person who hired me, who now works with me still, Brett Ostrom, saying, boy, we got this opportunity with Xbox and all hardware and software. We can bring this stuff together. And I'd be excited if I had a chance to do that. And so when I got to Microsoft, I, started with mice and keyboards and kind of grew from there. It was fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, they remain critical. They remain critical to what we do today, every single day, So I take a lot of pride in that. Yeah.
Well, I use one of your ergonomic keyboards, and I must say it's very good indeed.
It's a great product.
It is, absolutely. So, Panos, was Surface your idea? Did you come up with the concept?
It's interesting. It depends how you ask that, how answering that question is a little bit more complex. I would say we have a great team that came together with, we started with the idea, hey, how are we going to, at the time, we were creating Windows 8 as a company.
Yeah.
And what was going to be the best expression of Windows 8 possible? And we knew that, tablets were up and coming. And really, I talk about it this way, Duncan, products are a reflection of the people that make them. And when you say, did I create it? Ultimately, the team did this.
Sure.
I had some visions around the product, and what could be, and the fact that we can go make a tablet more productive. And then eventually we can take that tech and get to the performance of a laptop and we can bring a 2-in-1 to life. Yeah, that was a vision with a small group of us that we had put together a bunch of thoughts. We literally, the first concept, Duncan, where I had it in the lab with my partner, Rolf, and design, we had tape and string to create a kickstand and some magnets. And we thought, gosh, this could be something. And Sat down with my engineering team and said, can we push some boundaries here? Is it possible? You know, there's a transitional point, and how it blends and adapts to the customer will be so critical. Can we meet the customer needs that we see, which is both being consumptive and productive? And ultimately, we found Surface, and then it kind of grew and blew up from there.
So, I mean, you mentioned that Microsoft has a long legacy in peripherals like keyboards and mice, and I think in webcams as well. But this is a different level, developing computer hardware, developing beautiful looking new form factors, tablets, laptops, etc. Did Microsoft have the skills internally to build an operation like this, or did you have to go out into the market quite aggressively and hire?
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, we had a great group that was kind of being established through Xbox, mice, keyboards, and, you know, and the software engineering teams at the time, there was also a blend of hardware and software there. So, you know, that fine line, Duncan, between hardware and software, it's hard to see it. We have a lot of great engineering talent that sat there. Yeah. It was really more about taking that talent and refining it to bring hardware and software together to make magical experiences. And that's how we talked about it. Like, we're going to go create these products, and to really make a great product, you can't have great software without the hardware. You can't have great hardware without the software. So we knew that vertical stack was so important. Yeah. And there's passion on both sides of that argument, if you will. And ultimately, I think it's kind of over the last 10 years, Duncan, it's kind of dissipated, and a product is a product. It's hard to say something is just hardware or just software anymore. At the end of the day, what you're using, including the headphones you're wearing or the call that we're on here, using our PCs, like, this is that blend of hardware, software, including a product, which basically is a piece of technology that's connecting humans. And at the end of the day, once you make that as seamless as possible, you have something that then brings the best out of people, whether it's you and me connecting, or it's you and me producing or creating something either together or on our own or in a larger group. And so that talent existed in Microsoft, but then of course, like, to get to the next level, and I'm so proud of the team. I think we have one of the best hardware software teams on the planet right now. And the way they work, the way they think about the customer first, the way they, the technology roadmaps, the depth of our architecture, there's a lot of pride in that. And I would say, you know, there is a big part of that. Yeah, we recruited externally, if that's the right word. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right political word. I don't know. But I would say we recruited a lot. We brought in a lot of talent from outside, but we started with an incredible nucleus. And of course, we've been growing, Duncan, over the last several years. And, you know, now we're in South Africa, which I'm very proud of, very, very proud of. Like, it took a while, but we're there. Yeah. And you have this idea that, you know, that growth comes with people. We need more, you know, and so we're always recruiting talent. We're always looking for the best talent in the world globally. And there's something fantastic about that, because if you talk about, and I'll stop and take your next question, but if you talk about products being a reflection of people that make them, this is important for me. Your design has to be inclusive, meaning you have to not only think about every customer on the planet with this kind of platform, but you have to have people from around the globe making it so those perspectives, those reflections of those people show up in the product too. And then you can really start, you know, attaching to more customers and driving the hearts and minds of those customers to love your products and then create the things that they want to create.
Building this business inside Microsoft, did it require a mind shift culture within the organization? And if so, how did you go about doing that?
Yeah, you know, it did actually require some, for sure. Like, a couple of things. First, when we started, it was a secret.
Right.
And we couldn't tell anybody. Like, that was like rule number one. You can't tell anyone what you're doing. You're like, well, how do we recruit? You know, and how do you talk to suppliers and, you know, certain engineers in Windows and certain engineers in Surface and certain engineers in Office? They had just enough information, but not all the information. Like, we were a platform that we shared with the world at all times at Microsoft. Like, we were open book, you know? So start there. Like, the secrecy, probably not the right word today, but then it was true. Like, this is a secret. We may or may not ship this. You know, there's a lot of disruption happening here. And so it took a shift, you know, and it was people adjusting, leaders adjusting. And then the shift came in the importance of hardware and software being made together as opposed to in different kind of camps, like to get to that greatness of a product. These products have to be designed together.
Yeah.
And really that was new for Microsoft in many ways. I mean, we did it very well with Xbox. And so that was a little bit smaller scale, as you know, and compared to Windows. But now that shift has kind of, you know, we've migrated all the way to this. I couldn't see the other way, but everything we designed together across Microsoft. You know, we talk about putting the device in the middle of the table and reflecting all properties around Microsoft to come to life. So we bring the best of Microsoft through the product. And you start to see that in the results. Yeah.
You joined Microsoft in 2004 during the tenure of Steve Ballmer as CEO. Satya Nadella has been running the organization. How long has it been now? It's been about 7 or 8 years, hasn't it?
I want to say that, you know, I'm so bad with timelines, Duncan. I honestly, when you take 2004, I'm like, is that right? Gosh.
16.
I joined with Steve under Steve's leadership at that time. Yeah. And so I think Satya has been there. I think you're probably right. I'm not.
That's it, yeah.
You know, I remember my first meetings with Satya for sure, but I don't know exactly when those were.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to whether you think it's been perhaps been easier to launch a business like this under Satya Nadella than perhaps it might have been under Gates or Ballmer.
Yeah, no, I think it's just it was an evolution through time. You know, we started Surface with Steve. He's still a good friend of mine. He's so wonderful as a leader and a human, and did so much for the company. I feel blessed to get some of his mentoring at times, and definitely I get his feedback on every product we ship still to this day. Like, he has opinions there, and he's not shy. I'll just to be clear, it's quite fun. But under Satya, for sure, like, you know, he brings a calm demeanor. He focuses on the cultural attributes of designing with inclusion. We talk about One Microsoft and how it all needs to come together to make these products magical. And quite frankly, you know, the rigidity in how we run our businesses and how we make our trade-offs and where we make our investments is fantastic. I mean, Amy Hood's an amazing CFO, and you have Satya Nadella, who's an amazing CEO. And really, at the end of the day, you know, when we have to make hard calls, we'll make them. And so when we say, is it harder? I think it's easier. It's easier to be inspired with a vision in many ways, because you think about, you know, what can be and where we can take things. But of course, you have to be responsible in running a business. And of course, I always have to think about not only Surface, but our OEM partners and how they come to the table and bring amazing products, you know, shipping Windows and Office. And so there's a lot of different moving parts there, Duncan, but ultimately I think it's in a very healthy place from the perspective of leadership and being aligned and delivering on business goals.
You mentioned the OEMs. I'd like to chat about them a little bit, because there must have been some interesting conversations that happened over the years, especially when you decided to launch the Surface product line originally. What was that initial conversation you had, assuming you had a conversation with the board? What was that conversation like? How did you sell it to Microsoft that you were going to be developing products that would in effect be competing with the likes of Dell and HP?
We were pretty anchored in a strategy, and we still are. But at that time, it was our job is to bring hardware and software together and create magical experiences for people. And when you focus on the customer, it's really easy to get lost in some great things, because you want to deliver, you want the hardware to disappear. But that's the primary goal. And the second part of that was, if we can do it really well, it wasn't about competing with OEMs ever. It was about enabling OEMs. And if we can make great technology, great form factors, can we take that technology and, you know, get it into the ecosystem, enable more opportunity in the supply chain? Can we lift, you know, raise the tide for all boats, so to speak, Duncan? And so that's really where the focus was. You know, there's other competitors out there, there's no doubt, you know, between but the OEMs are not those. It's more around enabling them you know, we always wanted to grow a business. There's no question about that. But the truth of the matter was, it was about lifting Windows.
Yeah.
And now it's about lifting a product, the way we talk about it. But back then, you're hardware trying to lift Windows. And now you're in this place of, how do we make the product great? How do we do it with the OEMs? They're such amazing partners. And, you know, it's an interesting transition for me, because I started Surface. I was the first person on it, if you will, with my partner, Brett Ostrom. And we've grown that business and that team. And now I'm responsible for Windows. And so that migration has been pretty awesome, because I'm watching that tech make it through the Windows ecosystem. And now I'm, you know, kind of hopefully enabling and continuing to grow that ecosystem is a dream for me now.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm imagining there must've been some pushback from PC vendors. Did you have any sort of
Back then I wasn't, you know, what's interesting is it was so secret and such a silo in the beginning. You can imagine I didn't get much direct contact. But for sure there's some tension, you know, and questions, there's no doubt. And it really is about, you know, the intent was the most important thing in that sense, where, hey, we're doing this. We want to go create, you want to go innovate. We want to bring new markets to bear, and we want to create technology that we can share throughout Windows and through our ecosystem. And I think that's the direction we remain today.
Yeah. It certainly seems as if Microsoft has been successful in showing what's possible in terms of delivering hardware on Windows, in terms of new form factors and some of the designs that the company has come up with. This might be a bit of a contentious question, but let me ask it anyway, Panos.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why did it take a software company to show hardware manufacturers what's possible in PC hardware?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to go back to the, that is an interesting way to frame the question. I think it's more about just the vertical stack is so important to understand every detail of the product for your customer. It really is. Mm-hmm. You see that today from the likes of our competitors. It's so important from the silicon all the way through to the bits and then onto the screen, and how those come together perfectly, just to understand what a customer need is, how you meet it, where the bugs are, where the challenges are. And remember, you know, think about all the businesses, if you will, from small and medium businesses to large commercial enterprises to consumers at home. There's such a breadth. That you know, understanding the vertical stack is critical, and then designing for it. And I think Satya says it best when he talks about it. We have to push the boundaries of hardware and software coming together. If you're not going to have great software without great hardware, and you're not going to have great hardware without great software, and connecting them at every point possible.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, and then for us as Microsoft, enabling our OEMs to have that same opportunity and benefit is critical.
Yeah.
You know, Windows, you know, I talk about Windows, the PC right now is more essential than ever, Duncan. Like right now, right as we talk, the intensity of usage on Windows is higher than it's ever been. The PC today is your school or your classroom. It's your office. It's your connection point to your friends, to your family. It's my connection point to my family in LA, who I love so much and I haven't been able to see in a while, to your colleagues. I mean, PC is the window to the world right now. We got to work relentlessly and tirelessly to make, you know, to bring perfection to that. And there's so many angles to what that means, and maybe impossible, but ultimately, I don't think anyone, I won't be judged for not trying. I promise you that. And so like, I will push for that perfection. But the truth is, you know, when you ask the question, it does take an end-to-end solution to get to that point, especially knowing how essential the PC is now. I think it's the right thing.
Now,
does that help?
It does. Thank you. I wanted to ask a bit about the semiconductor industry, because there's a lot of consolidation going on there at the moment, some blockbuster acquisitions being announced. We just saw the NVIDIA ARM announcement a couple of weeks ago, and I think AMD this morning announced it was buying Xilinx for a cloud a data center push.
Did they? I actually haven't seen it yet, Mike, so yeah. I have to...
$35 billion.
Okay, you got me curious. I woke up this morning and went to the gym, if you will, just to get some energy, and here I am, so I got to take a look.
We're increasingly seeing companies looking to design their own silicon. Is that something that's in Microsoft's future as well?
You know, it's interesting. This is we have a pretty strong relationship with, I would say, I'll be very clear, AMD, Intel, and Qualcomm.
Yeah.
And the depth of our design is inclusive of what they do. And so we do our own silicon. In many different facets, you know, we do, I won't get into the details of each piece of it, but think about what we do for HoloLens. We do end-to-end silicon there for our pen work, for our touch and pen work, the pen itself. This is all custom silicon, unique end-to-end. So when you say, well, we get in, indeed, you know, we do, we have an incredible silicon team. They do some, they're amazing, inspiring, and they're global. They're in different parts of the world. But really what we focus on is how do we bring our silicon partners up, like our OEM partners, where we get to the depth of end-to-end of the experience. We work on our roadmaps together. We have incredible roadmaps right now. And in the sense of working with each different supplier. And then we have just consistency on stories like security, where we're able to push through the software some great solutions. So there's opportunity here that remains to grow our business, if you will, Duncan, through our partners, but we also do our own silicon. So there's a nice balance over at Microsoft.
All right. We are almost out of time. I think let me fire off a last question.
Go for it.
In your view, what impact has the Surface business had on the PC industry broadly, both good and bad?
Wow. Wow. That was almost personal. It says there's so much history, Duncan. There's so much history.
Sorry, I'm giving you 3 minutes to answer a very complicated question.
I think Surface has expanded what's possible in a PC. I think you're kind of seeing it not only from us, but even in our competition. There's new modes of input. It's a product that adapts to who you are. It's a product that can basically pick the Surface you're using and how that product's designed with the customer in mind and how it's meant to go disappear, mm-hmm. which I talk about all the time with the team. Therefore, we're trying to bring the best out of creation from the people that are using it, and now the best of connection. I mean, in this time where we talk about the PC being so essential. And then, you know, what I love about it is that, you know, you can see the hints of Surface kind of all over the industry in many ways. Yeah. You know, that's why it's a little personal. I take a lot of pride in it for sure. But now really what I want to see is I just want to see customers, whether it's Surface or a different product, at the end of the day, I just want to see people be able to connect, you know, and create and make it through kind of this pandemic using that, realizing how essential the PC is as a tool to do those things for us. And, you know, it's been nice to be part of the Surface journey and watching that team grow. I'm so proud of that team, that what they're able to deliver still to this day and what we're able to build with our OEMs and with Surface, you know, it kind of reflects that legacy. That history of what that product is. And so, you know, on the bad, you know, I'm not sure. I watched some of the competition and what's brought to table. And I just don't see it. I think it's all good. I think it's a healthy dynamic, and it's a great story. And hopefully it lives for a while. Hopefully it lives for some time and people are able to tell the story I take a lot of pride on, you know, through these times, how people were able to use the PC to connect, and then in the future, how essential it will remain, which I think I'm very excited about, because I think there's so much more opportunity on what we can do with the PC. You know, I got to tell you, Duncan, I know we're out of time, but I think nine months ago, I sat with Satya and he goes, "Panos, let's make sure people understand how critical the PC is, you know?" And we talked, and what are we doing with Windows? And we got to bring some love to Windows, and the energy around it was so exciting. And then all of a sudden, you know, 9 months later, here we are, and the PC is so essential to everything we do. And now it's about, you know, how do we continue to evolve that where people can love their product, because what they do on it is what they love to do. And yeah. So that's where we're at.
It's certainly been a crazy year, but it's changed the way we work. You're quite right. And I look forward to seeing what you and your team come up with next in terms of the Surface
Line. Yeah, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun talking to you. And you know, we're excited, obviously, to be in South Africa. Like there's you know, as we expand into a global presence with the Surface brand, it's an exciting time for us, Duncan. So I'm grateful you reached out. I'm grateful you're willing to do this call with me. I hope it meets your expectations.
Thank you. Are we going to see you down here in South Africa at some point in the next few years?
Shai, I hope so. 100% commitment to that. But we need to make it through this time where we can get traveling again. And I have to tell you, from a leader who, you know, I have a global team and I traveled quite a bit in making products and meeting with customers and getting to the factories and just getting my hands on things. I need to get back out there and connect. I think we all do a little bit.
I think we all want to travel. Anyway, Panos Panay is Chief Product Officer at Microsoft. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to TechCentral.
You bet. It was a great time. Thank you. Thanks for this morning, Duncan. You take care.